Welcome to Penikai Neighbourhood Church Weekly Podcast. To find out more about us, or to listen to other podcasts, please explore our website, nazarene.co.uk.
It is a special day today, and we're going to have the notices in just a moment. Before we get started, who can tell me what day it is today?
Sunday.
It is Sunday. And what is special about this particular Sunday? It's dry, it's not raining. Yep, that's very, very true. It's not raining. That's a good start. Whether it'll make it through the whole day without some rain in June, I'm not sure. But we had summer in February, so don't hold your breath. Anything else about today? It's Father's Day. Now, who can tell me where Father's Day where does Father's Day start? Where were these invented? Ah, America. Now, that was the answer I was looking for, because that is the answer that most people usually give, because Father's Day on the third Sunday in June, as we know it, was invented in America. But did you know that long before America decided that the third Sunday in June would be Father's Day, that there was a Father's Day that existed before this? A Father's Day that was invented by the Christian Church. In fact, in Italy, Spain and Belgium, they celebrated fatherhood on St. Joseph's Day, March the 19th. And this was because Joseph, Mary's husband, was seen to be a good role model, raising Jesus as if he were his own son. Essentially, Joseph had adopted Jesus into his family. And that adoption is something we're going to be looking at today, because Joseph adopted Jesus into his family. But then later, Jesus adopted all of us into God's family. So the idea of having a special day for dads didn't actually start in America, and it actually has Christian roots. Now then, adopted. That's a fantastic word. Do you know, I have a friend, a good friend of mine, Christian friend, who is involved in sort of Christian counselling of sorts, something called Sozo, which is about connecting people to God in the way that they relate best. And he said to me something once which really stuck with me. It hasn't gone away. And he said, each of us, every person who becomes a Christian and comes to God, if they think about it, usually each of us has a significant word. A significant word in our relationship and our journey with God. And for each of us, that significant word might be different. For one, it might be grace. For another, it might be love. For another, it might be mercy. For me, when this friend of mine asked me, what do you think your significant word is? And I thought about it for quite a while, because it's not something that I'd ever really thought of before. And the more I thought about it, I realized that my significant word in my relationship, my journey with God, is adopted. Because as I've shared with you in the past, growing up, I had an absent dad who wasn't around, and I had a bad dad who went to jail, but I also had the best dad ever, my Heavenly Father. But he is my Heavenly Father because I am adopted into his family. And that's become a word that's very significant in my life. And it reminded, when I watched that video for the first time, it reminded me of how significant the word adopted is, but should be to each and every one of us, because it is through adoption that we've all become part of God's family and can cry out to God And it says in Romans 8:15-17, "The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And in him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Now, two little interesting things about that verse. Now, it says there, sonship. Now, that leaves out daughters, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. Do you know why it says sonship first and then children afterwards? It says sonship because it's referring to the legal status for all that you had if you were adopted as a son in Roman culture. And that is the full legal status of adoption, which makes you an heir, which means that you can have the full inheritance of an adopted child. But it goes on to say, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." And then, later in Hebrews, it says this, "In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through Jesus' suffering. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters." So what it's talking about when it says sonship is it means that as brothers and sisters, as sons and daughters, we all have the full legal right as heirs into God's family and everything that that brings, including the full inheritance of God, all that belongs to him, the full kingdom of God, and all that is in it is ours as we are accepted into God's family. And the other thing that I wanted to say about that scripture before we worship is this. Because you are his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our heart, and the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Now, Abba is an Aramaic term. Why did he use the Aramaic word in a Greek letter? It's all written in Greek, and then he has the one word, Abba, in Aramaic alongside the Greek word for father. Any idea why that is? Anybody know? Do you know what language Jesus liked to talk to God in?
Aramaic.
In Aramaic. And what did Jesus call his father?
Abba.
Abba. And it's interesting. Now, Paul uses it again here because it shocked everybody, including the disciples, when God called his father Abba. Jesus called his father Abba because Abba was a really familiar term of endearment, like daddy. And the Jews just didn't call God. They called him father in reverence, but not daddy. And Jesus said, daddy. And this is what Paul is saying here. It is Jesus' spirit. Yeah, God sent the spirit of his son Jesus into our hearts. The spirit who calls out in the very same words that Jesus did to his father, now our father, daddy. Yeah? So let's worship in the spirit this morning, our heavenly daddy. While those are being handed out, shared and eaten, I would like to talk to you about our Heavenly Father and adoption as sons. Could I ask, when the children have handed it out, I want all the Ark Age children to come to the front. There's not many here at the moment. Just those two. That's okay. We can stay there. What I'd like to do then, when they can hand out, is I'd like you all to take your pinky finger. Okay. Is that all of the men done? Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Can you also go and hand those out to... There we go. Hand them out to the other boys and men. Right, so hold your pinky finger out. Now hold your arm at arm's length. Okay. Look at your pinky finger. Now look at your fingernail on your pinky finger. Held at arm's length. How many stars do you think you could fit on the fingernail of your pinky finger?
Zero.
20,000? Now, did you know, have a look at that fingernail on your pinky finger. Did you know that if you look through one of the most powerful telescopes on Earth, the XDF, which stands for Extreme Deep Field Telescope, that your fingernail on your pinky finger is the field of view looking through the XDF telescope. One of the most powerful telescopes on Earth. Looking through that field of view, not even solar systems, but galaxies containing billions of stars and solar systems. How many galaxies in that little space do you think scientists counted? How many? How many galaxies?
Zero.
More than zero? More than one? More than three? More than 1,000?
1,001.
More than 1,001? More than that?
3,003.
Oh, more than 3,003. Okay, 6,000 just above. They saw in that little fingernail of your pinky finger sized field of view, they counted 5,500 galaxies. Not stars, not solar systems, but galaxies. Isn't that incredible? Now, multiply this. Now, if you imagine looking at the night sky and you look at your fingernail in the night sky, how many of your fingernails do you think it would take to fill the entire night sky that you can see?
Billions.
Billions. And then imagine that you do that with the sky going all the way around the world.
Trillion billions.
Trillion billions. How many stars do you think, how many galaxies do you think are contained in that?
Billion.
So many. My mind can't even comprehend it. And that's galaxies. That's not even solar systems or stars. Well, now, that is the universe that God created and placed our solar system, the Milky Way, in, and placed our little planet Earth in the solar system of the Milky Way, and placed little old us on that planet. Sorry, I'm getting mixed up. The galaxy, the Milky Way, and our solar system in that galaxy, and our planet in that solar system. So, planet Earth, and on planet Earth, here's little old us. As a quote. Okay, you're right. Little us, young and old alike, and in the middle. I'd like to read you a quote from a man called John Piper. And it says this: adoption is greater than the universe. That's a funny quote, isn't it? And in brackets it says, adoption in Christ is greater than the universe. That's quite a claim, isn't it? Now, I'd like to invite somebody to come and read Ephesians 1, 4 to 5. Would anyone like to read that for me? Abs, would you like to read it? We go in front of nice and loud in front of her. Ephesians 1, 4 to 5. Yeah.
For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight, in love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will.
Awesome. Thank you, Abby. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. And when it talks about the creation story in Genesis, it doesn't just talk about the creation of the world, but all the stars, the sun, the moon, and the whole galaxy. So, God's plan for adoption was hatched before the universe began. That's a bit deep, isn't it? God's plan for adoption to be our dad was hatched before the universe began. But you know what? That's incredible, but it's not the most incredible thing. It's not the most incredible thing. Because the most incredible thing is this. It says in John 17, 24, that God the Father loved Jesus before the world and the universe began. And it says in verse 26 that the Father sent Jesus into space and time to our planet so that we could share in the love that they have for one another. We are adopted to share in the love that God the Father and God the Son share together in the Holy Spirit. Adoption into God's family places us at the very center of God's love for his Son before the universe began. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Who are you? And I want us to all say together, I am a child of God. Yeah, can we say that on three? As loud as we can. One, two, three. I am a child of God. Now, we are, as children of God, we belong to God's family. And in belonging to God's family, God says that everything that belongs to God in God's kingdom, we as his children, it now belongs to us also. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? Eternal life, a new body, and best of all, loving relationship forever in God's family, our forever family, and our really Father, our heavenly Dad.